Okay, thank you so much, Michael. Yeah, so jumping right into thinking about the economics and saving our growers money. We at LumaGrow think a lot about this, and I'm going to speak about trying to get better uniformity in our greenhouses to reach the production goals. So my talk's divided into two pieces. One is looking at light within the greenhouse, and then also looking at external to the greenhouse, how we can look at the what Mother Nature is giving us and how we can adjust our lights within the greenhouse. Okay, so first of all, how bad is the problem? It's actually pretty darn bad. I think I'm preaching to the choir here in terms of telling you that our greenhouses are compromised, first of all, just by the glazing. The glazing can eliminate light up to 50%. And then once you get within the greenhouse past the glazing, there's the struts, the gutters, all different things compromise the light reaching the plant further, as well as, you know, hanging plants. I'll show a picture here, and different shapes and sizes of our greenhouses. So this, we just took light readings down at UC Davis, just a little bit north of where we are, and you can just see here on a given day in June the range of the DLI that we got in our greenhouse, just ranging from, you know, 21 to 36 or 40. Okay, so that's the problem there. So have we tried to solve the problem? Well, you know, for greater than 50 years, we've had this amazing workhorse, the high-pressure sodium light over here. It has this beautiful blended light that's just wonderful. It's easy to measure, and it's very broad in its color. Over here, you have the new kid on the block, the LED light. So the LED light is very directed in how it has its beam. There's a silicon cap on the top, which has an angle associated with it. It's actually required a new way to measure light. Typically, LEDs are measured in, goniophotometers. And those are photometers that measure with respect to using an angled light. And the photometer then gives rise to illuminating engineering society files, also known as IES files, which then can be fed into architectural software to use to more sophisticated light planning. Okay, so just thinking a little bit further, what's the main problem is traditionally people have sort of lit, you know, kind of coming from a humorous perspective, they've lit over a bench, you know, what looks good to the human eye, without really thinking about how the plant is seeing this. And so what we found is using software is really a much more effective way than looking at a bench or looking at a greenhouse and thinking how I would light it. Okay, so first intuitively what we think about is we start out thinking about one light, and it's really not the way to think about it, because if you think about one light, yes, as the light gets further and further and further away from where you want your light to go, the light gets weaker. But for LEDs and for other lights too, you really have to think about a group of lights. So I like to think about in terms of at least a group of 10 lights. So here I just show you that for our particular lights, which have a 120 degree beam angle, if you hang them on a 10 by 10 grid and you hang them essentially above 10 feet, you start to get a very uniform light extending up higher. So this is a little bit counterintuitive, but pretty much, again, you don't want to hang your lights lower. You always want to maintain this 10 by 10 grid and always go higher. Okay, so what does this really look like? I just already said this. So here it's sensitive to hang height, whereas this becomes less sensitive to hang height. Okay, so this is what I want to show you. This is just shows you a picture of what I just said. At a low hang height, you get a wide range here. Even though the average is essentially the same as what you get here, you see that when you go higher, when you go up to the 10 feet that I'm asking for, you get a much better uniformity. And then if you optimize the lights and hang them in an interesting way from 8 to 15 feet, you get a much more uniform and what we like to think of as the acceptable range of -6 to 4%, essentially plus or minus 5. And what does this optimize really mean? Well, in the next slide, I'm showing you it's asking the lights on the edges to be hung really in a domed pattern. So if you can see this, this is 15 feet going down to 8 feet. And here I've tried to put forth a sort of a side view so you can see how the lights are domed. And this is for a large greenhouse. This is for the model that I'm showing you here. It's about a quarter acre. Okay. So solutions for a large greenhouse is the using software. Don't try to do it by yourself. Have the lights arranged on a consistent grid. Hang higher than the grid size. And then, particularly important, is that the edge adjust to create a dome of light. And this will create consistency of light. But this problem is great for solving, I mean, this is a good solution for large greenhouses. But for smaller greenhouses, for controlled environments that are sole source, for greenhouses where there's different zones where you want different lights, this is much more challenging, particularly when there's low hang heights, there's multiple shelves and aisles. So this is where Cale Harvick of Cornell University has come in and done some great work, where he's created software to complement the AGI software. I wanted to point out, too, that the AGI software is really architectural software that's just done for houses and buildings and things like that. It has no horticultural objectives. So we're trying to do the best we can with that software. But Cale's software is really starting to address the horticultural need. So with Cale's software, he takes into account not just a planar rectangular grid, but also non-planar, where he can tilt the lights, do intensity modulation. Okay, what does this look like? So in Cale's work, this is the traditional light plan that would be provided with this bar light. And it's a small space, it's 600 square feet, and it called for 20 fixtures. And you can see here the range of lack of uniformity. So Cale's program crunched, I think he told me it took really overnight for the numbers to get crunched. He relaxed the requirements, so he didn't specify exactly how many lights. He said, you know, 16 to 25 lights and the light level. And this is what it came up with. Much, much uniform. And again, I think meeting that requirement that we all are thinking of as the new standard in the industry of plus or minus 5%. And you can see over in this picture here how unusual the strategy was in terms of lighting the lights. So you've got two lights together, they're different heights right here. So anyway, very unusual. But perfect, almost perfect light uniformity. Okay, so he also did the work with high-pressure sodium, and it's a little bit more difficult to see, but also here, even with the high-pressure sodium, there's some unusual lighting patterns that are created. So now they're doing validations with crops. They're doing model crops of kale, arugula, and lettuce. And I snuck in a picture here of Neil and David and Lou Albright and kale. All right, so I just want to turn my attention. If we solved or almost solved the question of uniformity within the greenhouse, what about outside of the greenhouse? We know that the DLI that we face in many different parts of the country is very wide-ranging. In Leamington, the sort of greenhouse capital of Northern America, the DLI can vary from 2.5 to 25 from winter to summer. And even in Ithaca, if you look at the course of a year, in September, it can range from a DLI of 14 to 4. So a lot of disparity there to compensate for. And what's being used currently in many greenhouses, there's threshold control where different settings, a farmer gets comfortable with a particular setting to turn their lights on and off, and this does save a lot of energy and create some consistency. But almost 20 years ago, Lou Albright and his colleagues developed a much more sophisticated system called the LASI system, the light and, I always have trouble with this, shade structure implementation system, where it monitored the light for a few hours, made a computer analysis of that light that was coming in, and then adjusted the lighting levels and the shade structure to meet the needs of what was predicted to be for the rest of the day. Again, tightening up this to to this and saving a lot more energy, approximately really about, depending on how you count and where you are, 30% more energy. Okay. So what we've tried to do now, what we're starting to do at LumaGrow, is we've created a light sensor that measures light at the fixture. And as let me point out from previously, the LATSI system was structured on the high-pressure sodium lights. LEDs offer the advantage of the fact that you can turn them on and off pretty much at will without damaging the light, and also you can dim them easily. So those are factors that we've incorporated into our light sensor. So anyway, depending on the zone or area, we consolidate these measurements and then ask our light to provide the light that has been set to create a particular DLI. This way you can optimize light levels at your crop by creating zones for the shady parts or the cooler parts of your greenhouse. Okay, so we've been doing this work at Cabrillo College. Our standard was using an apogee sensor. Here's just the course of a day looking at our sensor, which is, again, a sensor that we can afford to put in every one of our lights compared to the apogee sensor, and it's pretty darn good. And this is what it looks like in the course of a day, a cloudy day and a sunny day. Here's our sunny day and our cloudy day. And you can see here we set it for 300 micromoles as the lower threshold. At this point, the sun comes out and the lights are off, and then the lights come back on towards the end of the day. In a cloudy day, this is what you see here. All right. I have on my timer, I'm going to show you a part of a one-minute movie. I apologize, it's a little bit salesy, but I couldn't get the salesy part out of it without showing you. But this is just fun little time lapse. This is the data you just saw in time lapse form. So you can see how our lights look as they are dimming and going at a higher intensity. So anyway, I think you get the idea. They go up and down depending on the cloud level. Aptos is very, very near Santa Cruz, so we get a lot of cloud cover in the morning that usually burns off midday. Anyway. All right, so you get the idea. All right, so just in conclusion then, the light within the greenhouse is very highly variable. Supplemental lighting can mitigate the shadows within the greenhouse. You can optimize fixture layout with commercial and custom software, which improves light intensity and uniformity, often with fewer fixtures. And light sensors can be used to direct light intensity to create daily light integrals across seasons and save energy associated with supplemental lighting. All right, thank you very much.